I think probably most people would acknowledge that sin is a pretty important topic. Although there would be some, no doubt, who would question whether there really is any need to be concerned about sin. Nonetheless, most who are familiar with the Scriptures and who've read the Scriptures would acknowledge that it's a pretty important topic. And I suspect that if I asked this audience to compile a list of sins, the kinds of things that we ought to be concerned about and worried about, the types of things that could very well keep us from God, you could probably come up with a pretty good list. And indeed, there would be some biblical precedents for such a list. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 comes to my mind when the Apostle Paul writes about those things that would prevent a person from entering the kingdom of heaven. And he writes about things like idolatry and adultery, and we could probably add some other things to that list. We might say, well, lying is bad. And I think lying is something we ought to try to avoid. And stealing, we ought not to be involved in things like that. And that would keep us from God. There would just be a pretty substantial list that we could compile of things that we should not do. And after we have done that, we're still not finished. Our concept of sin generally focuses on those things that we should not do. But the Bible tells us that there's another aspect of sin that we need to be aware of and cognizant of. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, we find that passage of Scripture that James has spoken to his readers about, or written to his readers about, the danger of assuming, you know, tomorrow. We don't know that we will have tomorrow. He says, you know, that some would say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. That's pretty consistent with the entire book of James. As James was very, very practical, very much an everyday kind of guy, and deals with things in his epistle that we as Christians are going to encounter on an everyday basis. And we're familiar with this warning that he gives here at the end of chapter 4. But perhaps we're not quite as familiar, or at least it doesn't occupy, I think, our minds quite as much. Verse 17, when he goes on to conclude and says, therefore, he is attaching what he is about to say to what he has just previously said in the way of warning. He says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And in this, James gives us a very practical definition of sin that maybe sometimes we don't really contemplate that much. When we compile our list of the things that are wrong, the sins that will keep us from God, it is a list of those things that we do that we should not be doing. And what James focuses our attention upon here in this simple verse is that, you know, it's just as wrong for us to not do the things that we should be doing as it is for us to do the things that we should not be doing. The popular concept of sin is the involvement in things that should not be done. Yet the Bible warns against leaving undone the things that we know we should do. And we oftentimes refer to this as the sins of omission. That is, leaving out or leaving undone those things that we should do. It is as much a sin to not do what we know is right as it is to do what we know is wrong. In fact, if we were more involved in doing what we know is right, we'd be less involved in doing what we know is wrong. God made man so that he really can basically only think about one thing at a time. And if we're thinking about what's right, then we won't be thinking about what's wrong. And I think that's why we have many passages of scriptures that urge us to think about things, to think about certain things, to think about specific things. Jesus had a lot to say about this problem of leaving undone things that we ought to be involved in doing. And so I'd like for us in our study this morning for a few moments just to think about this. Think about, first of all, what Jesus had to say about leaving undone what it is right to do, and how much of a danger that is to us. For instance, if you look in Matthew chapter 25, we'll look at three different instances where Jesus talks about this in this familiar chapter, Matthew chapter 25. And basically, it's a judgment chapter where Jesus discusses judgment, and he does so by the use of three parables. The first one is often referred to as the parable of the foolish virgins. And it is a story that Jesus tells that is set in the circumstances of a wedding. And you have a group of women who are part of a wedding party, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, and then everybody, the whole party, would go on into where the celebration of the wedding was to take place. But they're waiting for the bridegroom. And it's in that context that we see that Jesus tells in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 25 that five of these women were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know what the day or the hour." We see the problem here was really not so much what someone had done, but really what someone had not done. As Jesus tells this little story, and there are these attendants at the wedding party, some of whom had made preparations and had brought extra oil for their lamps, and they were prepared for a delay, and so when the delay came, they were able to deal with it. They had done something. What they had done was wise. Jesus calls them prudent. But there are those that he called foolish in his story. And they're foolish not so much because of what they had done, but because of what they had not done. And they had left undone the preparations that the prudent ones had engaged in. And so when the delay came and their oil got used up and they needed to go and get more, they weren't prepared for that unexpected delay. And Jesus uses this as a means of of warning to his disciples that they need to be a people who are involved in not only the avoiding of what's wrong, but in the doing of what's right. In the next several verses of this chapter, there is another parable that Jesus tells of a master who gives to his servants talents, that's sums of money, that they were charged with. And in this parable that Jesus tells, there's a five-talent man, and there's a two-talent man, and there's a one-talent man. The five-talent man is given five pieces of money to be in charge over, and the two-talent man's given two. The one-talent man is given one. And if you're familiar with this story, and you read that from verse 14 on down through verse 30, you'll recall how two of these servants behave well, and they're commended. And it's because they took the sums of money that they were given, and they put it to work, and they earned interest on the money that they had been entrusted with, so that when the master came back after a long delay, they returned the money they had been given, plus that which they had earned by their efforts, and they're commended, they're praised by this master. But the third man is not praised; he's condemned. And once again, it's not so much because of what he did; it's because of what he didn't do. In Jesus' story, he tells us that this one talent man became fearful of his master. He says in verse 24, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered." In other words, I know you do business deals and you're successful in what you do. In places that fields that you didn't own, but yet you get profits from it. He says, I knew you to be that kind of a successful man, and so he says in verse 25, "I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." He said, I took your money, I dug a hole, I put it in the ground so I wouldn't lose it." His master answered him, said, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty grim story that Jesus tells about this one man. Did you notice what it was that caused this one man to do nothing? That was the problem. It was that he did nothing. He left undone what he knew he should have done. Why? Well, he expressed it in verse 25. I was afraid. And I went away and I dug the hole and put the talent in. I'll tell you what will cause us a lot of times to leave undone the doing of those things that we know we ought to be doing. And it's being afraid. It's fear. It's being afraid of failing. It's being afraid sometimes of being, you know, criticized by others. But the point that Jesus teaches us in this lesson is this man knew what he was supposed to do. And that's true of us in most instances. We know what we are supposed to do. And we have no justification in allowing fear and allowing criticism and allowing anything else that might be leveled against us to keep us from doing what we know we ought to be doing. That's the whole point. That's what James is so practically trying to teach us. That when we know to do good and we don't do it, to us, that's sin. The third instance that we find Jesus speaking about leaving undone things that we know should have been done is that judgment scene from verse 31 on to the end of Matthew chapter 25, in which he describes basically the division of all of humanity into two groups. One on the right hand that he describes as the sheep of the Lord. And then one's on the left hand that he describes as the goats. And he praises those people that are put off to the right hand. He says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. It's an important little word in that 40th verse. In that you did it. Even to the least of these people that you helped in these ways, you did it to me. That's what we're talking about, is doing what we know to be right. And what Jesus says then in the continuation of the story is that he turns to those that are on the left hand and he says to them to depart into the eternal fires which have been prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, say, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent, and listen to it, that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment. What was the difference? The difference was that you have one group that did what they knew that they were to do. And then on the other hand, you had a group that did not do, that left undone what they should have done, that did not do. Jesus has quite a bit to say to us, in fact, about leaving undone things that we should do. And we need to understand, because of that, that there is a danger in this. We need to be careful that we don't have as our concept of sin only those things that we shouldn't be involved in. But that we need to have as our concept of sin as well, and a danger posed to us by failing to do the things that we know that we should do. The thing about sin is that it never remains stagnant. Sin always is progressing. The one talent man that we talked about back there in Matthew 25, his master's estimation became, it did not begin, but it became, this is a wicked and evil man. It started out that he had the same estimation of that one talent man that he had of the two and the five talent men. But this man left undone what he should have been doing, and as a result of the sin of leaving undone what should be done, he became, in the estimation of his master, a wicked and a lazy servant. Jesus teaches us in Luke, the 11th chapter, in verses 23 through 26, about the fact that sin is progressive. It doesn't remain stagnant. Luke 11 and verse 23, he's talking about evil spirits, unclean spirits. In verse 23, he says, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, now, there'd be a lot of questions, I know, that you might have in your mind about these beings. There are a lot of questions I have that I don't feel like I can answer. But listen to what Jesus says about them. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, and it passes through waterless places seeking rest and not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. That is the man from which he had been driven out. And when it comes to find it swept and put in order, then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now here what I believe Jesus is telling his listeners. It is this, that you need to understand that once evil is expelled, if that's not replaced with what is good, the evil's going to come back. The evil's going to come back, and it's going to come back in an even stronger fashion. And it's going to produce greater effects, and I don't mean good, but more consequential effects in the life of the person than it did the first time. The point that Jesus is making is that evil just doesn't remain stagnant, but it progresses. And what we must understand when we're talking about sin, even when we're talking about sin of omission, the sin of leaving undone things that we should do, it has dramatic effects because it's still sin. And it's still going to progress. And it's still going to grow worse and have more terrible effects upon our lives. It's not some unimportant, insignificant little matter. Over in Matthew chapter 23, we find where Jesus, speaking again, has this word of warning. Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These things you should have, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. His criticism of them was not, oh, the tithings and the things that you did that you were meticulous about, those really weren't important. You should have been concerned about justice and mercy and faithfulness. That's not what he said. What he said was, you failed to do what you should have done. The practicing of justice and mercy and faithfulness. They had omitted things that they should have done. And then he said, those other things that you were meticulous in doing, well, you should have done them too, because they were part of the law. And Jesus never said to them or to us that it's okay to leave undone certain aspects of what God expects of us. It's dangerous to do that. And so we need to be on guard against omitting from our lives those things that God would have us to make a part of our lives. How do you avoid sins of omission? Well, just very quickly, in the text that we looked at there in Matthew chapter 25, we find in Matthew 25 and in verse 13 that as Jesus told that story about the women that were part of that wedding party, that were prudent and that were prepared. Well, he said, here's what you need to do. You need to be on the alert. If you want to avoid the mistake that those other women made in that wedding party, where they omitted the preparations that they should have made, when they left undone what they should have done, if you want to avoid that, what Jesus tells you is, then you need to be alert. You need to be paying attention. You need to know what you need to do. And you need to be careful about doing it. In the next few verses, when he was telling about those servants that were given sums of money, the men that were praised as being faithful. They were true and they were loyal. If you want to avoid leaving undone certain things that God wants done in your life, then you need to be committed to being faithful, to being on the alert to the performance of your duties, and being faithful to your duties, being true to them. And the final thing that we need to do is we need to be active. Almost goes without saying, but there at the In the lessons that Jesus taught, he taught about the need for being active in our service to God. I mean, just how many times do we have to be told that? The Apostle Paul, give diligence. Give diligence to show yourself approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling right or correctly the word of truth. But it requires the giving of diligence. It requires the effort. It requires activity on our part. And that, I mean, if we're talking about avoiding the problem of leaving undone things that we should do, is it really surprising that part of the answer is activity? I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? That the problem is where we can leave undone what we should be doing. And the solution is that we should become active, diligent. Are you seeking to serve God with diligence? Are you seeking to overcome sin in your life? Not only those things that you ought not to be involved in, but also overcoming the sin of leaving undone the things that you should be involved in. Are you seeking the Lord? If you're not, why don't you begin to do so today? With faith that Jesus is the Son of God, why don't you turn away from sin? Confess your faith. Be baptized. Wash the guilt of your sins away. And live for Him from this day forward. We pray you will while we stand and sing.